Major funding for Only a Game comes from Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals worldwide. Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield, and we're devoting this week's program to an examination of the impact of Title IX on the 40th anniversary of that legislation's passage. Joining me now to initiate that examination is Nancy Hogshead Makar, the Senior Director of Advocacy for the Women's Sports Foundation. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you, Bill. Good to be here.
Title IX is, of course, known as the law that changed collegiate sports, but there is no mention of sports in the language of the legislation. What was Title IX initially designed to accomplish?
Title IX was designed to allow women to be able to have access to education. Education in this country is how people advance both economically and socially. So it has transformed the country as we know it.
When and how did it first become apparent that the most significant changes brought about by this law, or at least some of the most significant changes, would be in athletics?
Well, I would take issue with that the most profound area was athletics. Athletics is where you see it because it's one of the few areas in all of education that is sex segregated. So in the math class or the political science class where you see 50-50 students, Title IX is operating just as strongly there as it is on the athletic field.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the real sex differences between boys and girls after puberty, if you want to give women and girls en masse just sports opportunities, you have to segregate by sex. Otherwise, you're just going to have a very few women who are going to be able to participate.
Let's get to some numbers within the realm of athletics. I'm sure you have those at your fingertips as well, just in terms of before and after sorts of numbers.
Well, before Title IX, there was a little less than 300,000 girls playing high school sports. Now we're up to 3.1 million girls. So that really changes the landscape of how, whether or not it's socially acceptable to do, whether or not being in control of your own body, whether or not you feel comfortable living in your own skin, those kinds of numbers you just can't replicate anywhere else. In college, it has gone from 40,000. Now we're up to about just under 200,000. Now women are playing in higher education. That includes all divisions, 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm. It also has changed the perception for people who don't play sports at all but only watch sports. The numbers have simply shifted the way people regard women, hasn't it?
I couldn't agree more. It's hard to hold stereotypes about women being second-class citizens or not being as strong as or as accomplished when you see the women's soccer team competing against Japan in the finals. Just you can't hold those two ideas simultaneously.
This is a question with a dangerous generalization built in, but is it fair to say 40 years on that most colleges and universities have successfully conformed to the requirements of Title IX or at least attempted to do so?
I would say most schools have not complied. I would put the number at about 80%. Because there is this three-part test, it's hard to say exactly how many, but just by looking at the stats that I have, I would say no. Most schools in the country are about 57% of the student body is female, but only 43% of the student-athlete opportunities are for females. So just going on that, women lag behind men in every measurable criteria. And over the last 10 years, we've actually seen a bigger split. So both boys and girls are increasing. There are more boys participating at both high school and college. They're at all-time highs. But the split between men and women has actually grown over the last 10 years.
Do you have a sense going forward of whether people will be more inclined to fulfill their obligations under Title IX? Do you regard that optimistically or are you pessimistic?
I'm pessimistic if things don't change. The things that I'd like to see changed are I'd like to empower coaches much more. They really should be on the front line. Coaches are pretty well protected, but a lot of them don't know what exactly Title IX requires. And that's something that the Women's Sports Foundation is trying to do, is teach and reach out to coaches and explain to them how well protected they are. And here's what they can do to advocate on behalf of their student athletes.
Nancy Hogshead Makar has a 25-year history with the Women's Sports Foundation, where she is now its Senior Director of Advocacy. Nancy, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you very much.